So today, previously, I have preached about end times. I have preached about the book of Revelation. Kids can be released and go to your children's church. Thank you. I have previously preached on the book of Revelation. I have previously preached on end times. Today, we are going all the way back to Genesis 1. And you may say, of all the topics that you could pick to preach on, Matt, why would you preach on Genesis 1:1? Well, think of it this way. If you build a house that is not sitting on a good foundation, it will come crashing down around you. For nearly 200 years, the concept that God created the universe by his spoken word has been under satanic attack. I think it's very important that we as Christians know what we believe, and not only that it's true, but why it is rational and reasonable to believe it. Another way of saying it is, if Genesis 1 isn't true, then can John 3:16 be true? In other words, when does God stop lying? And the truth is, God cannot lie. It tells us that in the book of Hebrews. So let's listen to God's word and let it sink in. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters that separate water from water." So God made a vault that separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be called, or serve as signs, and mark sacred times and days and years. And let the lights be in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing which teemed in them, that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. All the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The Jewish Sabbath is Saturday, which means God began his creation on what we would think of Sunday. One thing I want to point out is the phrase, and God saw it was good, is said about every day except day two, which is actually Monday. And that tells us everything that we need to know about Mondays, and that is that it stinks. The first 10 words of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not in the beginning, there was a big bang. We serve a God who is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, all-wise, and he has the power to speak, and the universe pops out fully functioning and in full operation. Have you ever looked up in the night sky and seen the stars and the galaxies and considered the vastness of the universe? I used to have a pretty decent telescope, and I loved looking up at the planets, and I saw Jupiter in full detail with the bands, and I saw Saturn with the rings, and it was just hanging out there in space. And it kind of makes you wonder, how is it that these planets don't just like shoot off into space? They are in this orbit. Well, the book of Hebrews tells us, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets as many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he has made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The word that God spoke, let there be, has been in effect in this universe, causing planets and moons and galaxies just to hang out there in space, doing their thing, radiating the glory of God. In fact, King David in Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim proclaim the work of his hands. I love this time of year. You know, first of all, we get through winter, everything's brown, all the trees are appearing to be dead, but in spring, it's just like bursts forth God's glory. You see the beautiful trees and flowers, and you're wondering, how did this all get here? Well, God did it, but he also enjoys beauty, because you can look out into the sky and see galaxies, and you can see planet nebulas, and you can see down into the deeps of the ocean, and you see beauty, and it's like, why would you create something that no one can see until technology allows us to get down there? And it's because God enjoys beautiful things. But I find it interesting how some scientists have twisted themselves into knots to explain how this tiny little dot the size of a pinhead that contained supposedly all of the matter that became the universe exploded and out pops a universe that's fully functioning. I don't know about you, but when you see an explosion, like a dynamite explosion blowing something up. I don't see order there. It's chaos. And somehow this tiny little dot blew up and we have everything that we are able to see. You probably saw or picked up on the phrase that I read many times, according to its kind. This is very important because it means that dogs give birth to dogs and lions give birth to lions. It really puts into question this scientific notion of punctuated equilibrium. And you may ask, what is punctuated equilibrium? And I'm glad that you asked that question. It's this wacky theory that somehow a lizard laid an egg and out popped a bird. And they did that because there are no transitional creatures in the fossil record. You have dinosaurs, you have birds, but you don't have anything in between. So they said, well, what happened was is this lizard laid an egg and out pops a bird. And that is more wacky than to believe that God created everything that we have. And so, as I said, dogs give birth to dogs, chickens give birth to chickens, which brings up the issue that has been the age-old question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? It was the chicken, and it was created on Thursday. To demonstrate my point, I'm going to pull out my phone here, and I'm going to show you a marvel of evolution. You see, billions and billions of years ago, a bunch of chemicals and minerals and things all kind of came together and out popped this fully functioning smartphone. And you're laughing because that's crazy, and that's absolutely correct, because you know that this smartphone had designers. It had people that drew up blueprints and schematics. You had engineers and you had technicians and you had a designer of the smartphone. And yet I submit to you that the hand that held that smartphone is far more complex than that smartphone. I am looking at a self-healing vehicle. I can cut myself, and then a week later, there's no evidence that I cut myself, because God created that hand, this body, to heal itself. So, let me use another analogy. If you go to Lowe's or Menards or Home Depot and you buy all of the material that you need to create, to build a 2,000 square foot home, from the roofing shingles to the 2x4s to the floors to the sinks and toilets and bathtubs, and you have all of those materials delivered on your building site, do you have a house? No. You do not have a functioning house. What is missing? Well, you have to have blueprints. You have to have schematics that tell the carpenters like Charlie and Brian up there how to put this house together. Everything has an order. Everything has to be put in place just exactly so, or that roof is going to come down on your head. While we're on the topic of the Creator, most people think that it was God the Father who was the only one involved in the creation. Yet John 1, verses 1 through 3, tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. I want to give you some logical proof. I'm going to take a drink here. Some examples of God's creation. Consider, first of all, the Earth. Do you realize that we are just far enough away from the sun that we don't burn up? Yet we're not too far that we freeze to death. The Earth's tilt is 23 degrees, which gives us our seasons. If the Earth was not tilted, then you wouldn't have as many areas on the Earth that would be inhabitable. Also, there is a magnetic field around the Earth that protects us from the sun's radiation. Without this, life would not be possible. How did something so fine-tuned that allows life to be exist just happen to come to be from some giant explosion that happened supposedly billions upon billions of years ago? God did it. The human body is a marvel of creation. At conception, the sperm and the egg contain the information needed to create every kind of cell the body has, right down to the fingernails, the heart, the hair, which I have much less of every day. But how did something so minute in detail, such as a DNA molecule, just happen to come to existence through some random chance? Again, God did it. The bombardier beetle has a defense mechanism designed into it in which the beetle has two separate compartments with two different kinds of chemicals that when shot out its rear end, when it comes into oxygen, explodes and it frightens off its would-be attackers. How does something like that just happen to evolve? It can't. If it, over courses of millions of years, developed these chemicals, but they weren't ever really utilized, they wouldn't be passed on to the next generation. Or maybe it blew itself up before it was able to reproduce. Giraffes can be 20 feet tall, and yet they are able to bend over and drink without all of the blood flowing to their head causing them to fall over. And it's been learned that they have check valves in their bloodstream or blood vessels to keep them from having all the blood flow to their head. How did something like that just happen by pure chance? Woodpeckers, they have long sticky tongues that roll up into their head like a scroll, so that they can stick their tongue into the wood and pull out bugs. How did that happen? God did it. And finally, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, all you have to do is look at the duck-billed platypus. It is a mammal that lays eggs, that has webbed feet like a duck, and males have venom. God has a sense of humor. And the evolutionists want me to believe that these and many other awesome miracles of creation just happened through random chance. Evolution is mathematically impossible. It has been said that there is a better chance of a tornado blowing through a junkyard and out pops a fully formed 747 jet airplane than for evolution to be the way that we got here. One Christian apologist says, "I don't have enough faith to be an evolutionist." So call me an ignoramus or a simpleton for believing in a God who has all the power necessary to create what we see here in this earth. So what are the consequences for not believing in God, the intelligent designer who created everything? Because there are consequences. Paul tells us in Romans 1, 18 through 32, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, the divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for images made to look like mortal men, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. I submit to you that lie is evolution. And worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. What I just read to you out of Romans is illegal to preach in the country of Canada. It is considered hate speech. What we just read is what God said he would do to a society that fails to acknowledge him as creator. This is what biblical scholars call the wrath of abandonment, and I submit to you that we in the United States are there today. It is not just the sin of homosexuality. Paul gives a long list of things that characterize a society that will not acknowledge God as creator. There is a tragic phrase in the Old Testament book of Judges which says, each man did what was right in his own eyes. So if someone thinks that killing you and taking your stuff is okay to them, then it's okay. We see that on the TV news every day, do we not? So why do these intelligent, learned scientists fight so hard against divine creation as an explanation for how the universe began? In a moment of rare honesty, a prominent evolutionist once said on a talk show, I suppose the reason we leapt at the origin of species, which was written by Charles Darwin, was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores. What he essentially was saying is, if there is a God who created the universe, he has a right to tell his creatures how they should live, and he didn't want to give up on his sexual desires. The environmental movement worships the creation rather than the creator. That is exactly what I read out of Romans 8, right? They would much rather save a tree than save an unborn child. While we're on the topic, we don't have to worry about man destroying the earth. Yes, we need to be good stewards of the earth. We don't want to destroy things, but God's job is to do that himself. The Lord told Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 through 22, immediately after the flood, he said, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as earth continues, or earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We couldn't destroy the earth if we wanted to. That's God's job to take care of that. 1 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. That is the kind of global warming that everyone needs to be afraid of and concerned about. One thing is for certain, both those of us like myself who believe in a biblical creation account and the atheist evolutionist who believes in a Big Bang theory, we have one thing in common. Neither of us were present when the universe came to being. Therefore, our belief is based on faith. I have faith in a God who is strong enough, powerful enough to speak and everything comes into existence. While they say, first there was nothing and then it exploded. So, how can we have confidence that what the Bible tells us in Genesis 1 is actually true? All you have to do is look at his inspired word. If he can tell us in flawless detail what happens hundreds of years into the future from when it was written, would that give you confidence that what he said happened before we had something written down was true? The prophet Isaiah prophesied about a king named Cyrus who would overthrow the Babylonian Empire, which, by the way, did not exist when Isaiah brought that prophecy. And he gave him such minute detail that when the king Cyrus invaded Babylon to overthrow it, Daniel, the prophet, showed him in the scroll that his name said he was going to do these things. And as a result, Cyrus was so overwhelmed with that that he decided he was going to give the Jews back their land. Or what about this? I'm going to give you a few prophecies about the first coming of Jesus. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born of a virgin. He would be of the line of David. He would be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. He would speak in parables. He would ride into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey. He would be spit upon and have his beard plucked out. He would be crucified hundreds of years before that prophecy came about. Did crucifixion come into being? He would not have a bone broken while on the cross. I could give you many, many more prophecies about Jesus' first coming. But the thing of it is the odds of this coming true in such minute detail is the same as me taking a silver dollar and putting a black X on it and putting it into a field of silver dollars that's a foot thick, the size of Texas, and then blindfolding somebody and giving them one chance to find that marked silver dollar. God is awesome. Everything he does is awesome. As we come to the close, and I'll have the worship team come up, I'm sure you're wondering how Matt's going to weave some Christian song into this. And I picked a perfect song to close, and it's a hymn, "How Great Thou Art." The first verse is especially poignant to this sermon today. I hope that I have given you something to think about today. As believers in Christ, we need to be able to articulate what we believe and why. So let us pray and thank God for his wonderful universe that he's created, but more importantly, that he loved us enough that he came to this earth to live a perfect sinless life and pay the penalty for our sin and conquered hell and the grave that we might have eternal life if we trust in his atoning sacrifice. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for being creator, God, maker of heaven and earth. We worship you, Lord, because you are worthy of our worship. We thank you, God, that you loved us enough, that you made man in your own image, that you made man, even knowing before you made man, that he would fall in sin. And it was your plan from the very beginning that Jesus would come, that he would die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. I give you praise and glory and honor, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.